This is Navigate with ID Enang.
Good afternoon, Uncle ID.
Good afternoon, Ify. You wanted to set me up? Can't happen. But someday, you never can tell.
Yeah.
They could find me swinging that mood.
Yeah.
And just deliver a different, that would be a different kind
that
would of
very me. Interesting.
Very interesting. Well, friends, don't bother yourself to understand what we are talking about. It's just the other part of me that some of you may not know. I'll actually give Alibaba a run for his money. And Ali knows that. And then okay, Bakasi and all of them. So I'm so delighted to be here. And I bid you a good afternoon, distinguished listeners, friends, wherever you are listening to this program. I bid you welcome. As always, I'm grateful to God Almighty for the opportunity for life and also granting me the grace to be able to speak to you and also learn from you at the same time. And also grateful that you are alive, for you to have that capability to listen and walk through. Obviously, you are alive, and all glory to God. Well, friends, it's a new month. It's a new, how do we put it? It's the seventh month of the year. The year is fast rolling by just like that. And the big question you want to ask yourself is, okay, where have I been? Where am I going? And what am I doing? It's a question you must ask all the time. Well, for us, yeah, we'll try as much as possible to always bring you the best in time. God granting us grace to share with you the things that will equip you for the journey ahead. During the Tuesday edition, I had stepped into the terrain of talking about succession planning and management. And therein, you know, we looked at succession planning, we looked at succession management, and I also had the privilege of sharing with so many of us who have asked questions about Corporate Shepherds, what it does, where it sits, and I really had to explain what our operating value is, which is about shepherding, and the role of a shepherd is to tend. And based on that, our values are to understand the needs of those for whom we are responsible, like your good self, being vigilant and reliable. We come here every Tuesday and Thursday by the grace of God, by recognizing our obligations and commitment to those entrusted to our care. So all mentees, all listeners, all advocates, here we are trying to make life better for us. But more importantly, as a core value, being dependable, emphatic, caring, practical, and realistic. And that led us to look at succession planning. We looked at the what, we looked at the why, we looked at the how, and then we looked at, of course, the when and who. With the what, we kind of defined succession planning as a strategy for identifying and developing future leaders. With the why, basically looked at it saying, why is it important? Yes, it is important because it actually sets the tone for identifying the mission critical roles and the people with the right skills and competences that will need to fill those roles in the short, medium, or long term. And when we looked at the how, we then settled in the space of succession management as a process that ensures that the skilled people, whether employees, whether persons, whether talents, whatever name you want to call it, individuals, there are tools that are made available to prepare people for the future. Remember, I said one thing, that we must always place a high premium, a high value on people. Without people, nothing can happen. Don't despise people. Don't take people for granted. Ensure that whoever you meet, wherever you meet them, whenever you meet them, have respect for them. I mean, coming to the station this afternoon on the road, just on the close to the Owuru Nsukki Express, coming on about 10 million, there was some kind of traffic, and the first person was trafficated and wanted to get into the left side of the lane. And this guy was running with all manner of speed, and I decided to wait, and I said, please go. And he said, no, he realized his folly, and said, no, go on. I said, no, please, thank you so much, please go. And I waited, and I said, what are you rushing for? Why are you rushing? He suddenly realized his folly, and he wound down and said, I'm very sorry, sir, please go. just a few meters after that, I saw a gentleman driving some very posh car. He was sitting there and he was using his phone. And here he was, there was the gap, and he had all kinds of articulated vehicles in front of him. He wasn't watching because he was texting. So I waited and I honked and I said to him, and I did the sign to him, and I said, please, you love your life. Don't do this. This is wrong. And the guy wound down and said, thank you very much. He came further to cross just to stand by me, honked again and said, thank you. I mean, friends, this is what it takes for us to be good Nigerians. It just takes one thing. Have love, compassion for people. Not about all the time you're struggling. There are ways we can communicate without having to fight. Must we fight? So again, I'm talking about in the context of succession planning and management, the how is how we bring it to life. And I gave you different forms. Number one, job shadowing. Number two, job rotation. Number three, short-term assignments. Number four, it could be on-the-job training. And then I stepped into another terrain and said, I talked about the when. The when under S, P, and M, that is succession planning and management, is about the readiness of the people. The readiness. The horse can be made ready for battle. But you know, if the rider is not ready to ride the horse, it's in vain. Readiness of the people. There are some that are ready now. There are some that are ready in 6, 9, 12, 18, 36 months. And that there are some that are not ready at all. So how ready are you? And finally, I talked about the who. The who speaks to the person. In corporate parlance, they will speak to two kinds of individuals. One, someone who is a high potential. And they use the word hypo. When you hear hypo, that means the person is a high potential candidate. Now, I ask questions before we closed. Are you a high potential candidate? Number one. Number two, I asked, have you been identified as a high potential individual or candidate or staff? Number three, are you in a mission critical role or job? And number four, I asked you, if you asked yourself these two questions, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? Number two, what role do you think you will occupy in 3 to 5 years? Without understanding the positioning, you can never understand what it would take to have you within the retention strategy of the company you work for. You'll just be what? A number. A number. Could be one, could be 10. You know, when they give staff number, and the day you come and go, you just erase it and say, his place, let another take. Do you believe in spending time to develop yourself? Do you know that you can actually be the one that is responsible for your downfall and not the company? So today, having done that recap of Tuesday, I want to now focus on two characters. The two characters are you and I. The people, the persons. I said something when I was in this journey, summarizing. The what may be in place. The company may have a great succession planning tool. Great. They may be able to answer the why question. They may be able to, you know, have a good organogram. They may have job roles, job defined, job definitions. They may have scope, context of the job. And that in itself, they begin to go through, okay, you are in level one, level two of this grade because they've gone through job grading. So they know one job from the other. And by the way, your title may be, you may have a title of commercial manager, but some other person may be commercial manager, but he will earn probably 30-40% more than you do, all because you may carry the same title, but both of you are not sitting on the same job grade. So within the spectrum of a commercial manager, they can have three levels. level 1, level 2, level 3. Why? Because of scope. If somebody is running as commercial manager, maybe a territory like Lagos, and some other person has a Southwest, put all the Southwest together, cannot match the contribution of Lagos. On one, from a scope standpoint, and then complexity. The channels you have in Lagos, that is, if it was a sales job or marketing job, the channels you have in Lagos, from the hypermarkets to the international retail, to your grocery stores, to supermarkets, to mom and pops, and whatever you want to call them, Yarisi and all, you will not have all of that in the Southwest. And so that person may be a commercial manager class 1 and earn far more than a commercial manager class 3, who probably will be handling just the Midwestern region or area that doesn't have this complexity. So again, these are all the things that come to play when we start looking at the subject of succession planning and management. Now, my focus today is not on the company, not on the system, not on the organization, but on you. And starting from the question, how ready are you? How ready are you? And I'm going to answer that question. But before I do, we'll take a short break. We'll take a commercial break. And when I come back, we will roll the tape, roll the die. Don't go away. It's going to be interesting because it's your turn to answer the question. Okay? We'll be right back.
This is Navigate with ID.
Well, my dear friends, welcome to Navigate with ID. I've been looking at the subject succession planning and management. And for those of you who are currently working in some organization or the other who have never heard this, I expect that the junior managers will be the ones saying, okay, what is he talking about? I'm talking about your future. Because you've stepped into a company. Many of you are excited. I want to join. I need a job. But you because in your head and mind, you've not looked at the destination. You can ride any bus. You can ride any bicycle. You can jump on any motorcycle without having a destination. And somewhere midstream, you start regretting, saying, I should not have walked here. It's because you did not clearly know where you were going. I did say that I'm going to be speaking to two parts of the entire what, why, how, when, and who. So I'm going to focus on when and who today. The when speaks to the readiness of the people. That's you. How ready are you to take on the responsibilities that the company will be giving to you? Can the company bank on you? Can your employer take a wager on you? Can they, in the spectrum of this planning, say that we believe that in 3 years that ID will become the next commercial director from this position? They may put all of those plans in place, but ID may not even have moved, or ID may not even want it, because mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, ID may not be ready. So my question is, how many of you in your jobs now are actually ready and you've sat down to say, wait a minute, where is this particular job taking me to? Where do I want to be in 3 to 5 years? If you have not started the planning in your head, if you don't have it in your mind, you cannot blame the organization because there will be a clash. But if you have started in your head and in your mind, then it's easy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm about to say may sound very, but I'm going to be very honest with you. Let me give you a very practical example of my own time. I was commercial director at Cadbury Nigeria PLC. In the year 2009, December, I joined Cadbury in 2007 as commercial director. So I was responsible for marketing and sales and operations. By the time we got in, December 2009, there were conversations about the company was going to be bought or sold. And in January 2010, the company was bought over by some other entity. But let me tell you something that is more important. At that point in time, I had told my colleagues from the day I joined the company that I was going to spend 3 years, 36 months in Cadbury. My entire team were looking at me and saying, how can this man? I said, guys, I'm only here for 3 years, 36 months. I joined Cadbury September 2007. And I said to them, by September 2010, I'll be out of here. They looked at me and said, how can he? He's not God. I said, okay, wait. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But the beauty of it is I'm about to give you a practical example of readiness. By January 2010, when Mondelez bought over Cadbury, I sat there and I told my colleagues, we're all going to Kraft. It was Kraft, not Mondelez. I beg your pardon. I take that back. It was Kraft. Kraft Foods at my time, during my time. It was Kraft. When Kraft bought over a part of Cadbury, I said to my colleagues who were sitting there, I looked at them and I said, I'm still going to leave. And they asked me, they said, Ide, why are you? I said, number one, if this new company that is going to buy us come in this role, I will need to prove to these new buyers that I'm good enough. So they'll need 18 to 24 months. I said, guys, I don't have 2 years to waste on one role. I'm finishing my assignment here. And I'm not going to, I can't wait for that. And they were looking at me. Some of my guys were looking at me. And they said, wow, is it possible? I said, watch and see. We went for our AGM in Abuja. And we sat in the AGM, April, I can tell you the date. The minute we finished the AGM, it was April 7th in Abuja. We came out of that. I know there are two gentlemen that stood with me, Tokwe Phillips and Paul Udochi. Tokwe was my HR business partner. Paul Udochi was my sales controller. I stood with them at the Transcorp building and said, guys, on Monday, I'm putting in my resignation. And they looked at me, and then the chairman of the company walked. He was just walking past that day. He said, oh, ID, fantastic AGM. You guys are doing well. And Paul just said, this man doesn't know what is about to hit him. I was going to resign. And not resigning because of anything, but my time had finished my assignment. Friends, my MD walked into the office, my office on Monday. I'm telling you a true life story. When I talk about readiness, if you are not ready, you are not ready. If you are not ready to move. Now, this is where my story takes a different turn. The MD walks into my office at 5:15 p.m. The only person sitting in my office with me was Paul Udochi, my, call him deputy assistant, vice, anything. Paul was my 2IC. And then when he came, Paul had to stand up and he now stood there. He wanted to leave. And so I said, Paul, stay. And when we started talking about business, this was Friday, we were in Abuja. We had done a market visit. And then I had written my resignation letter. And so the MD went into this conversation. So Paul was just watching me and wondering, Ogago, if he do this thing. We got to a point, I said, we finished. I said, Alan, so now that you're done with all of this, now I need to give you, I have a love letter for you. He said, whoo, wow, he's a British man. So we're laughing, eh? And I handed him my resignation. He said, what is this? I said, it's for you. It's not a parcel bomb, so you can open it here. If you think Paul, all of us will just die. And we laughed. It was humor. He opened it and he saw my resignation. And he said, is this a joke? I said, do I look like one? And he said, no, ID, come on. Are you kidding me? I said, yes. I said, that's a 3 months mandatory notice I'm given. But I want one thing to happen. No member of the team will know about it. We cannot jeopardize the next 2 months. We need the numbers because the team will be down. We need them up. So we must, it's only the executives that will know. Paul already knows. Tokwe Phillips know. I told him those are the only two guys I know. And we'll keep it at that. And the MD said, permit me to be able to respond to this. I said, with all pleasure. And I said one thing to him, just the same way I did at Coca-Cola when I went to my boss who was the president, when I left Coke for Cadbury. When I gave Chem Kumral my resignation, I was general manager for a region. And I said, Chem, I was moving on. Chem looked at me and said, Idi, where are you going? you're a general manager, you're doing so well, why are you going? I said, I need to move on. I said, my time is up here. And the man looked at me, and he said to me, well, we have to talk about it. And they started negotiating. What do you need? I said, I don't need anything. Once this letter leaves my hand, once I've thought through it, I don't give a resignation without thinking about it. The minute I give you, forget it's not coming back. It's gone. So the MD took it Monday. That Monday was a very bad Monday because he didn't believe it. I just, from there, I went home and I had a good night. I snored that day very well. But now it was a battle of 3 months. So 3 months. But let me tell you something. Did I have a job at that time? The answer is no. I didn't have any job I was going to walk into. Did I have any suitors? The answer is no. Because I said, I just knew that I needed, that assignment was going to take me 36 months and we had done it. The team was fantastic. We had just turned Cadbury around. We had repositioned Tom Tom. We had repositioned Bombita. Everything about the company had come back. I mean, 2009 was the best year. We had the best cash coming in on the month of December. I said it last time. I won't tell you the figure. But the business was back. By August, let me tell you something. By August 2010, because I left, my last day was August 31st. By August, we had delivered the numbers of 2009 in August. So basically saying to the guys, Paul, September to December, now extra. I'm giving you guys are taking. It was the team. Had nothing to do with me. That's just a smack of leadership. If you are not ready mentally, physically, you cannot be ready at any point. But I must also say, it was after I dropped my resignation that I got strange calls from different companies, one of which was Samsung. And I decided to go with Samsung. So at the time I resigned, I didn't have the Samsung job. Don't ask me how, don't ask me what, but I'm telling you, when I'm talking about readiness, I'm putting it in context so that you'll understand. Many of you are not ready. Many of you are not ready now for the role. And let me tell you something that you must know. As a principal, if I get called for an interview, so assuming my role was, okay, let's use a practical example. I was commercial director in Cadbury, right? And if anybody was going to speak to me about, oh, we have an offer for you, we have a consideration, a commercial director role, I don't bother about that role. You know why? Because I'm already in it. I bother about the next. So I'm asking them, what's the next job? Because this is not a job. I'm already doing it. Many of you jump from the same job to the same job, and when you're having conversations with your employers or you are discussing about the job, you already know. Talk about the next position. So I negotiate from the next. I said, no, sorry. Who is the CEO? They tell me the CEO is just... I said, no, I'm not interested. They say, why? I said, because this job I'm coming in now, you're asking me, in nine months, I'll be bored. So I need a better challenge. And the job I'm eyeing is the CEO's job. And if the man is not ready to leave in 2 years, why am I wasting my time to go and queue? But if you tell me that job is ready, then I'm fine. Put it down in writing. Yes. That's readiness. But to make you ready, you must have certain competencies. And this is where I'm going to lead us in the days to come. Let me give you an example. If you are a business unit leader, okay, there is a competency that whether as a middle level manager or leader, as a senior leader or a business unit leader, let's say thought leadership. Thought leadership is going to carry different strands. Number one, for a business unit leader or someone you might take as an MD, you must be able to use insightful judgment. But for somebody who is at the middle level, they need thought leadership, but they don't need you to have insightful judgment. What they will need is ability to make sound decisions. So can you, if he at the middle level, still experience, if I take thought leadership as my anchor, whether at MD level, whether at middle level, whether at junior level, it means three different things, but the same thing. Useful judgment, balanced judgment is what they need an MD's head to be. But at the junior level, at the middle, he's making sound decisions. What is a sound decision? Making a timely decision on something that is happening now. So you are, nobody's there with you. You need to just, you need to take a decision. And then you are waiting. Okay, good morning, sir. Morning, sir. Please, sir, I'm at the store. I want to know, can I go ahead? Then you are not a thought leader at that level. You cannot be positioned to become a business unit leader. They are already seeing that this one, without a support structure, this guy is not there. So succession planning actually starts with you. You are the one to manage yourself in such a way that when they are planning, they are plugging your name there. They will say, wow, this guy has what we are looking for. Another thing that can come in that whole journey is, how do you act? So, for example, in the same bucket of thought leadership can be a word at the middle level. At the middle level, an example, when I talk middle level, now I'm speaking to middle level management. Okay? Acting strategically. So, the ability to balance the big picture. So, the company says, this is where we are going. And then you have to now balance that picture with day-to-day activity. What it just requires of you is to stay informed about what is going on in your industry. Many of you have no clue of what is happening in your economy, your industry. You just watch television. When they come, business analysis. You will not grow, because when they are planning, you can't be a subject matter in that equation. When they are asking for an MD or a business leader to think strategically, what they are asking for is his ability to apply strategic logic to decisions and initiatives. That is why the people that are ruling us today, we just have all kinds of characters. It's very true. So when, just from thought leadership alone, I look at someone that is in the State House of Assembly, that is in the Federal House, or in the Executive, they should have different lines, being able to understand what it is, but they don't possess it. And so they are all over the place. They can't identify underlining issues because they are not well-baked. And because as a country, we do not groom our leaders. Listen, right now, a senator that sits in one seat, see, when they come and tell me, America, 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 there is no reason why somebody should be in the House of Rep for eight, would probably be there for six. What is he doing there? I mean, even speaking to, what is he doing there? It means that this person just wants to sit there and now tell you, I'm a distinguished lawmaker. Who are you? What law? But when you move out of there, what competency are you displaying that allows you ultimately sit in a place where you can actually preside over this nation? Because I don't understand why, if someone who understands all the laws will not at one time want to execute. It's a competency issue. So it's happening in our public service. When you have in the civil service, they will give you somebody, they will tell you, I was a civil servant, level 6 officer in the Ministry of Defense many years ago. I've told you people before, 1983. So I'm not talking from, we have ACO, they have deputy, assistant, they will have about 3 levels before the next grade, and you'll be moving like that, promotion interview. And when I saw that thing, I said, God forbid, not be me. My father now said to me, you know, Idoreyan, when you finish, you come in. I said, Daddy, forget. It's not going to work. I knew it. I tested the water. I saw it. Our office was at Ikorodu Road, opposite Baptist Academy. That was officer's pay office. My commanding officer was a lieutenant colonel. This is the problem, friends. Readiness. How ready are you to be able to make it in your career? Growth. Growth is not overnight. Just the same way a plant grows, it requires a seed. Without a seed, there can't be anything. So what is the seed that you are putting in the ground? Without the soil, some of you don't even train yourselves at all. I can say this authoritatively. I've been running corporate shepherds for 11 years. Out of this, I have done free training forever. Tell people just small money to use to equip yourself. I beg, but when it's time to go and laugh at the hotel with entertainers, I'm not saying it's wrong. The guys are putting their craft. But you don't have priority. You don't see that you don't muzzle the ox that is bringing the grain. Many of you just take your money and you waste it on wasteful ventures. It's called, Apostle Paul called it, superfluity of naughtiness. It's foolishness extraordinary. That you know you are not well equipped. You are a container. And there's content inside. The content inside, if then shake and nothing in the salt. Say salt shaker. Say it's here as it be when shaker go here. Something did this salt. This salt did here. So that is how most of us are. You have not infused anything called learning. You have been earning from that salary. When they give you, you go club. Hey, my guy. You go lounge. You go shack. Drink all kinds of things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. Miss a drink. I drink that time. But I drink with head. I don't drink with my leg. That's the difference. If you know where you are going, I've told you guys before. Listen, let me tell you another part of me. Then I served in Port Harcourt, 1989. We stayed at the UST, University of Science and Tech. That was that's where we did our PA, PPA. Thank you. If you have more, you know, my own don't take. I don't hold for the team. Now, do you believe, I'm saying this, you know, with every sense of, I'm just telling you that this rare, some of us do. I notice I wear NYSC uniform reach 4 times for camp. I know where. At the go parade, leave that to Jesus. When he comes, he will judge me. There was a particular day we all went to Dreams, the nightclub. My guys and I. Then we met our camp commandant inside there. He was a captain, Captain Amma. Short man like this. Amma took off. By the time he got in, he went to blow the bugle. And they brought everybody because he said he saw those boys. He saw my friends and I were all in the club. And he said, I don't catch these boys. He left to go to count, blew the bugle, and I was in platoon 4. I came to the front. I was in pajamas right in front of him. And the man looked at me and said, you, I will get you in this camp. I said, thank you, sir. What am I saying? I'm telling you that rascality, person they play with sense. So if you are saying this man, I know they give, this will not be fake gist that they give you. Guys will serve with me, go tell you. But again, I was in the football team, and that's where I probably would have played football for Eagle Cement, because they wanted to sign me on as a professional footballer. I said, no be football, my papa sent me go school. In fact, my father from afar, now he go down through the stone and the shoe. Say, you're stupid. Did I send you to school to become a footballer like that? Send it to use your brain. My father was very hard on me as a first child. But here I am today. I'm a product of a process. So I can speak to you about progress. So friends, as we go into this month, we are going to prepare ourselves for this readiness. We want to start talking about competencies. I want to start telling you the things you need to do, because you're going into the second half. Many of you, your first half was woeful, but thank God for life. You're alive. Know that your second half will be better than your first, if you are ready to change. If you are not ready to change, then it's in your hands. There's nothing God can do. God is not going to come down. And I see, you know, I hope you know that I'm of the Christian faith. I don't understand how people will, and I'm saying this honestly, will be fasting for 90 days. And when they are fasting, they will leave during the day. I say, when are you going to walk? They say, we are fasting. I said, this is just pure religion. I see a lot of people mortgage their careers because on the altar of religion, Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. But some of you want to be more holier than the Pope. So you have somebody traveling and say, shall we go have a drink? He said, no, no, I don't go to such places. The Lord forbids it. Your career. So you can never appear on the radar, because you've taken religion into the wrong context. That even Jesus that you are mimicking, never did. He was a friend of sinners, and yet he was the Messiah. You can maintain contact without contamination, my friends. So there is nothing you can tell me about. Stop blaming the company. Stop blaming them if they don't put you on the board. I want you to focus on you. Let's focus on ourselves. Prepare ourselves well so that we can make the board. Because if you're not on that board, there's nothing like growth. And if you don't grow, there's only one way. It's called decline. Many of you are crying now. You're sending me messages. Mr. Adi, I don't know to do what to do with my future. Think. That's why God gave you a brain. If you don't, study to show yourself approved. Many of you don't want to study. You think life is not a bed of roses. Oh. And even if it's still a bed of roses, roses have thorns. It must choke you small. But many of you don't want to be choked. You just want, I just want the pearls. I just want, for who? For where? Where is that done? So we are going to talk about readiness. So when we are back on Tuesday, friends, we are going on that trajectory of readiness. And we begin to look at it and say, what skills, what competencies, what behaviors do I need to? Because when they are talking about succession planning, even if it's a one-man business, that man will look at me and make me stand out. I will stand out from the crowd. There will be a crowd of witnesses. Then the man will say, that guy is because you possess something. So whether one man business, whether it's your father's business, there must be something that will make you stand out. If you check the word extraordinary, there are two words, extra and ordinary. Everybody can be ordinary, but that little extra, that little thing you put in will make you become extraordinary. And you'll be spotted. Everybody can be standing, but you can become outstanding. By the way, you should play me that track. If you look for it for me, Outstanding by Gap Band. I had that album many years ago, Outstanding. Although it has, Let's listen to this track and I'll be back. When we come, I'll open the phone lines. Outstanding. This one is speaking in a different context, but you will get it right when we get back. Don't go away.
This is Navigate with ID.
Well, friends, that song, Outstanding by Gap Band. Are you outstanding? Do you blow someone's mind at work? That your manager will look at you, the management will say, wow, you knock us off because of your intellect, your prowess, your ability to deliver, your self-roundedness. Friends, there is no amount of planning the company, organization, or director, or one-man business will do. Your name will always be on that chat list. Any day, your name will be on the chat. That's what it means to be outstanding. Gap Band sang that song many years ago. I think it was 1979. Then I was in Form 4 at Baptist Academy. And it was one of the tracks that I always looked at to say, in whatever I do, it was a word, I must always remain outstanding. Standing. Well, at this stage, I'm just going to open the lines and I'll say to you, frankly, if you have questions, you may just want to take those questions and hunker down emails to me, contact@navigatewithid.com, or follow me on Twitter and Instagram @IDYENANG. Lagos Talks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Who's calling, sir? Hey, Shehun, how are you doing?
Hello? Very fine.
Okay, quickly, because my time.
Based on this, I remember when I started as a volunteer.
Okay.
I had to start doing so many things. Each of the departments that the organization that I was volunteering for was doing. So I learned about so many things in the department, in the volunteering, the work we were doing. I got employed in the nation without an interview. But the skill level I needed as a volunteer was different from the skill level I needed as a management staff of the organization.
Okay.
And I had to learn so many things there and then. And I told some people that even though I'm not that big of being sacked, but I'm sure I'll be the first to be sacked in this organization.
Yeah.
Because of my contribution to the organization.
Fantastic.
And something, even though we are abuse them a lot in Nigeria, the politicians, they have the most effective succession plan in Nigeria. But we don't understand it. They are very effective at what they are doing. But
they are deliberate. Anyway. Thank you very much, Yung.
But we should learn how to keep them.
Thank you. Lagos Talks.
Good afternoon, sir. Happy New Month.
Happy New Month to you, sir. Who's calling?
Buka the talk.
Okay, Buka. Tell me about succession planning. What do you want to talk? How you doing? They laugh.
Succession plan is, you know, in this life, some people must be Joshua, following Moses.
Okay, that's true. So, who is your Moses?
Abi, who are you?
Who are you?
You are the Moses, if you know.
Ebuka.
So, yeah, Moses, I want to wish you happy New Month.
Thank you. I'm grateful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. This is coming from Babatunde on WhatsApp saying, Uncle ID,
sir,
you are so wonderful for all this inspiration and intellectual mindset that you're really blessing this generation and the unborn generation. I've learned a lot from your program.
Thank you.
Tuesday is incomplete without listening to your program. I pray God will continue to bless you bountifully.
Amen. And you too. Amen.
Someone just said, wow. I'm waiting for the rest of what because I think he's typing. But what's his name? James. He's like, wow. I'm sure he's still blown away by all that he's listened to. Namdi is saying, hello, sir. Please, I would like to discuss someday on succession planning in the context of family business, generational differences. Mm. I'm at loggerheads with my dad on many issues in terms of running the family business.
Yeah, Namdi, I know. I'm actually going to get into that space somewhere in the course of the month and keep listening. We'll talk about it. But you can send me a tweet or send me an email. And we can take it offline. Lagos Talks.
Good evening, ID.
Good afternoon. Who is calling?
This is Lisan from Sulia, sir.
Oh, Lisan, long time.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Happy, well done, Lou.
I'm not talking to you, Lisan.
Yes, ma. Sir.
Yes, sir.
How did you know from the outset that you would live in 3 years? Because you say we're half prophets and half faith and half that. But I know you have a target. I know you have this. But how do you know that exactly this? Was it the mission that you were on? Or this is just something you just always thought? That's one. Two, sir. What would you tell someone who has been stuck in a position for, maybe an unnecessary number? Let me just say a time that seems to be too long by your standards. How would you advise the person to move? What are the things you would tell the person to do that the person is not doing? Thank you, sir.
Well, listen, you know something? I know that many of us take these things for granted. But I said something. I said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. The Spirit of the Lord, if it's resident on the inside of you, will be very clear. It brings illumination. That's what I had. I had God speak to me clearly, and my time in there was 36 months. As a matter of fact, I saw my book, 36 months of chocolate. That was the title of the book before I even joined the company. So I knew my time was 3 years. So you may not, those are things that, you know, if you don't draw near to God, he will not draw near to you. And those are things that people can explain because he uses very simple things to confound the wise. But they look so foolish, but really and truly they exist. And I'm a trophy of grace, so I can tell you. Number two, what will you tell someone who has been stuck in a place? I said, the person wants to be stuck. That's it. The kind of question I'll ask him is, when you left where you left to get to that point, did you have a mission? If you had a mission, so what's holding you down? Nobody. Sentiments? Do you know what you are doing? If you don't know, are you listening? You know, there's something the preacher says. He says, be careful what you hear. Let you hear your servant curse you. Many of us, I always talk about itchy ears. We are listening to side talk, but we are not tunnel visioned. Where are you heading? As long as I'm heading, if I listen to side talks, I won't be here. Do you know what it takes me to come for this program every week, Tuesday, Thursday, what I have to forgo? But there can be enticements. And, you know, like I told you, if you watch the video that my sister-in-law made me, my father made us read, me in particular, my younger ones, Book of Proverbs. He said, "My son, if sinners entice you, consent ye not." Those are things that have been ingrained in my spirit from the time of parenting. So, somebody is stuck. He's stuck because he has not sat down to say he knows where he's going. It's a very difficult thing. There are several reasons. I wish I knew. I'll be able to take that.
All right. This is from Jonah saying, "Uncle ID, I had to tune out every other thing that I was doing in the office just to listen to you. From your escapades in NYSC camp to Coca-Cola to Cadbury, your story really inspires me. You are simply outstanding."
Thank God. God has found me graceful. Thank you so much. Lagos Talks, the last caller, and we'll call it a day. We'll be back on Tuesday. Yes? Yes, who's calling,
good
please?
Afternoon,
good
sir.
Afternoon.
Okay, my name is Uche.
Hi.
Hi, Uche.
All right, Uche.
Okay, sir. You know, when I heard you say to jump on, because I have a little background in HR, I was like, oh, organization, succession planning. But I didn't think about it on positioning yourself, you know, to get a better role in an organization.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm actually having some issues. So yesterday, I engaged one of our HR business partners. I explained everything to him.
Yeah.
Because I'm studying strategy and I want to get into a strategic department.
Yeah.
So he encouraged me and he told me also his story. And he said, "I need more inner grit."
Mm-hmm.
And I should, you know, I shouldn't go for what everyone can get.
Yeah.
I should look for those certifications that are extraordinary, that only people can get. Is that okay? So he also told me about his management and all of that, and my organization doesn't have it. That, you know, when they are creating a room, they already have you on target to pick you and pick you. He actually encouraged me, and this is just exactly what you're saying. And I'm looking forward to a lot you will share on me. And I want to appreciate you.
Thank you, Uche.
Thank you so much,
Uche. Thank you. Your best days are still ahead, okay? Just stay on track. Listen, I will try and address some of this in the next episode. So if whoever is in that particular spot can find some light. And that's what, you know, that's what the word does. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When you have that, you have everything. Ify, thank you so much. Friends,
I'll be
back on Tuesday. God willing, I'll be here by His grace, and then we'll take it from there.